I got a burden, and I had a burden since last night, and I believe God's released it from me. Might have been a result of Pastor Tommy's prayer. The burden I have is I just wonder sometimes how I'm coming across, whether I'm coming across clearly. And it's not my intention to confuse the saints of God in any way. What I try to do is I try to lay out a buffet for the sheep of God. And there's some people who are only interested in milk, if they're interested in anything at all. And there's others that are interested in need some potatoes, and there's others that want more sophisticated dishes. And you find all of that in the Bible. And so when we're instructed to preach the whole counsel of God as ministers of the gospel, that includes all of that menu. There's some people who I've known pastors actually tell me this, that they refuse to preach the deep things because they're afraid their people won't handle it. Well, who are you to play the role of the Holy Ghost? And I have found that some preachers won't preach doctrine because they're afraid that their congregation will outgrow them. They don't want no competition. They don't want some young preacher boy getting a hold of truth to the point where they start telling them what they need to be doing. I'm just talking. There's one thing I've learned from Pastor David in all the years I've been underneath him, Pastor David Dickerson, is that he always studied to stay ahead of his congregation. So when you feed the sheep of God truth and doctrine, sound doctrine, God will dictate who gets it and who isn't going to get it. And it will push you to study more, especially if the congregation starts to get a hold of what you're saying. And I'll be honest with you, in my 28 years of Peachtree Baptist Church, that ministry ruined me to the point where I can't be satisfied with just any preacher behind the pulpit. And as a result, I had a hard time. I can't just submit to just anybody. So I find it real natural for me to submit to Pastor Tommy McElroy, because he and I are pretty much on the same page. We went to school together. We believe the same things for the most part. We've got our issues. We've already ran into a few. But I don't hold that against him, and he don't hold that against me, and he'll tell you he's right anyway, so what difference does it make? So, some of you will get what we're saying in the series of messages that we've been presenting, and some of you are not going to get it. Don't be frustrated, because just because you're not getting it don't mean somebody else is not getting it, and so we try to accommodate everybody. I wanted to share that with you. The Bible says in Psalms 11, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, there's a difference of opinion as to who's quoting that verse, whether it's the enemies of David or of God, or is that the expression of the saint of God himself as he's in prayer? I don't know. But I know one thing. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We got to rebuild the foundations. We need to start. And what are those foundations? Well, one is our attitude to the Word of God, which means we need to have an intelligent understanding as to how we got our Bibles. And I've been laboring now for about 3 or 4 weeks about this subject called inspiration of the Scriptures. Verbal plenary inspiration. And the average congregation is not interested in theological terms, if they're interested in anything at all. But these are terms you need to be aware of. Now, of course, verbal plenary is not found in your Bible per se, but the word inspiration is. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we need to have an intelligent understanding what that means. There's been a battle for years that has attacked the authority of the Word of God by higher critical thinking in our universities. It's filtered down in society. Now you're hard-pressed to find a local church anywhere that believes in the inspiration of the Scriptures. And I feel like it's important that if you're going to study your Bible, you need to have at least a working knowledge of the inspiration of the Scriptures.
Because I promise you that if you have any interest in what we are talking about these weeks, sooner or later you're going to run into somebody and have a conversation about it. The lost, they always seem to say, well, how do you know that's the Word of God anyways? How do you answer that? My response is, have you ever read this thing? You have to read it. Or at least hear it preached. And if you avoid either one of those two means, you're not going to know. God has to reveal to the sinner that the Bible is the Word of God. And it has to be done by faith. You should have a working knowledge of the inspiration of the Scriptures. And so as we turn to Nehemiah chapter number 8, verse 8 is our text. So they read in the book and the law of God distinctly in verse 8 and gave this sense and caused them to understand the reading. We dealt with reading the Word of God distinctly. We are currently dealing with and giving the sense, meaning the proper translation. We have explained to you why they had to translate the Scriptures. And that was because the congregation whom they were ministering to were from Babylon. And some of them did not, they had lost all familiarity with the Hebrew language. So you have here your first recorded record of Bible translation. And so Bible translation is necessary when it comes down to understanding the Scriptures. Now, of course, we have our English Bibles called the King James Version Bible. We don't have to contend with that. But the doctrine of inspiration is the backbone to Bible translation. And the biblical inspiration is also the backbone to Bible interpretation. And if you don't understand that every word is inspired by God and God breathed from beginning to end, well, then you lose all respect to the Word of God, and you're approaching it like any other book. And as a result, you cannot understand the right approach to understanding the Scriptures because you are refusing to acknowledge and recognize that since God has inspired every word is to be taken literally out of the gate. Brother Brian, are you saying there's no place for poetry? Absolutely not. I'm not saying that. Are you saying, Brother Brian, there's no place for symbolism in the Bible and allegorical representations in the Bible? No, I'm not saying that in that case either. But when you run across those illustrations and those cases, it is clear as day that these are figurative means of speech. But when those situations present themselves in such a manner in which the literal, plain meaning of Scripture suffices, who are we to start injecting allegorical misrepresentations? Am I being clear in what I'm saying? Now, you've been used to Bible preaching all of your lives. You've never had to probably deal with heresy that would take and twist Scripture. Never had to contend with it, so you're probably not even much concerned about what I'm talking about tonight. But that doesn't mean that we should be ignorant. I'm telling you that it could become a problem in days and weeks to come, and who knows, God might be getting ready for us to get into a little controversy. And He's preparing us already. I'm just saying, it's just the way it works for me. So the text verse, one of the things we wanted to show here is when you're dealing with verbal plenary inspiration, there were three methods that the Holy Spirit uses and utilizes in the creation of Scripture in the form of prophecy or by pen. We noted revelation, illumination, and inspiration. And we broke those down. We should know what those are by now. Revelation. That's when God reveals to the prophet of God the mysteries of God. Future events. Doctrine. Truth. The knowledge of God. The glory of God. Things about God and His program
that he would not otherwise have known by any other means. And this was given to the prophets and the apostles of old. And then there's the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the illumination. And this is done by degrees. They would have this revelation, and the Holy Spirit would reveal to them to a certain point what that revelation was all about. And then inspiration. Now they're responsible to communicate it to the general public. And so the inspiration of the Scriptures entails the ministry of the Holy Spirit when He controls the prophet of God and searches the hearts and the vocabulary of the prophet of God or the apostles, and they line up their vernacular or their terms of their vocabulary with the truth given to them, and the Holy Ghost causes them to say exactly what He wants them to say using their personalities and their character in the process. Peter didn't write like Luke. And I don't preach like Tommy McElroy. But that don't mean God's not using us. He uses personalities. We do not believe in the dictation theory where God so controlled the guy that there was no latitude whatsoever to express their own personality. They were not robots. Okay? And so the text verse was in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And we noted that the doctrine of revelation was found in chapter number 2, verse 10. Paul laid out the process of inspiration in connection with the gospel of Jesus Christ, in connection with Christ crucified, which was the message he harped on. And he's telling the Corinthians, now you need to understand the context here. The context is that the Corinthians were high-minded. And they had departed from the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And they thought they had outgrown that message. It was no longer palatable to them. Therefore, they went on to bigger and better things. They were looking for mystical truths. Deep things of God, secrets hidden outside of the realm of Jesus Christ. And they considered themselves wise men. And they had outgrown Paul. And they accused Paul and told Paul that your gospel came from men. We got direct connections with God. And we got something that we can offer to the people outside of the gospel of Christ. And Paul says in chapter 2, you're dead wrong. The gospel of Christ was given by the inspiration of God, by the revealing work of the Holy Spirit, the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit, and by the gift of inspiration. The words that I expressed the gospel in were given to me by the Holy Ghost, comparing spiritual truths with spiritual words. You can't say that. So, he introduces the defense of the cross of Christ as being the center point and the foundation of the church, as being the expression of the verbal plenary inspiration ministry of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. He didn't get it from men. It was revealed to him by God. So look at it. That God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. What did He reveal to us by His Spirit, Paul? Who's the us here? The apostles. The things that I have not seen and ear heard in verse 9. Okay? And those things which God has prepared for them that love Him. When did God prepare these things for them? At the cross. Do you understand that everything that you have need of and needed in salvation, God prepared those things for you at Calvary and you did not know it. The apostles didn't know it until God revealed those things to the apostles by the revealing work of the Holy Spirit. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the things of the Spirit of this world. Now, look at verse 11 again. It says, talking about knowing these things. But we have received not the Spirit
of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God has already given the saints of God all the riches of God in Christ at Calvary. You've got to know that. If that ever rings in your heart, you're not waiting on it to be given to you at salvation. It was applied to you at salvation, but it was given to you in Christ at Calvary. And the Holy Spirit of God made that real to the Apostle Paul's heart. And the Holy Spirit of God took Calvary and the Jesus that died on Calvary, and He broke Christ down and He explained it all to the Apostle Paul. He dissected Christ for Paul, the work of the gospel, the work of Calvary. It was laid out to Paul to the point that Paul could write about the doctrine of salvation unlike any other apostle in the book of Romans. He could write about the relationship of Christ as being the head of the church and the church being the body of Christ unlike any other apostle. How could that happen? Because the Holy Ghost of God, through divine inspiration, revealed those things to the Apostle Paul. And if it wasn't for that work of grace, that ministry of the Holy Spirit, by revealing, illuminating, and giving and communicating by the gift of inspiration, you would have no New Testament. Do you understand that? Nothing. The New Testament, as well as the Old Testament, are expressions of the very heart of God. And it's communicated to us by divine inspiration.
Which things, verse 13, also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual words. That's the implication there. So, do we understand now what revelation is? As far as verbal plenary inspiration is concerned, as far as the communication of the mind of God creating Scripture, illumination, inspiration, it's laid out right here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. All right, now, I'm going to require you to think now. A series of questions. Can the Holy Ghost reveal something to an apostle or a prophet and there not be illumination or inspiration? All right? Repeat the question. We have three steps to communication of Scripture, creating of Scripture. Can God reveal truth and God withhold illumination and inspiration? Well, it's either yes or no. How many say yes?
None.
How many say no? The answer is yes. All right? Now watch. Revelation chapter number 10. Brother Patrax, you got your Bible? We may not get much further than this tonight. Revelation chapter number 10, verse number 4. I want you to read verses 1 through 4, Brother Patrax, sir. Are we connecting the dots? Brother Patrax, tell me what are we saying in regards to this Scripture right here. That's exactly right. He saw it. He understood it enough to where he was going to write it down. But God forbid him to declare those things. So whatever those seven thunders said, we have no idea what they were, because God forbidded the communication of that revelation to the general public. It was something that was privy to John and John alone. And he could never speak those things again. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Pastor Tommy McElroy, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Read verse 4, please. Okay. Pastor Tommy, I want you to explain to us as your congregation what that is saying to us in connection with what we're talking about. That's right. And where are we getting that at? Verse 4? Let's look at it again. How that he's talking about himself here, but he's talking about himself in the third person. Okay, meaning he used the word he. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words. And he's talking about what? Revelations. He mentions that in verse 1. It is not expedient for me. It's not important for me, doubtless, to glory. There's no sense in me glorying. I can go ahead and really sound my horn.
and brag about all the visions and the revelations of the Lord that I've had. But there's only one problem. God has told me to keep my mouth shut. I can't say just everything that God showed me. And that's what he means when he says in verse 4, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Okay? So this next question ought to be a lot easier. You can have revelation but not have illumination or inspiration. Can you have revelation, illumination, and not inspiration? Yes or no? I only say yes, you can have revelation, illumination, and not inspiration. All right, I see more hands going up. Yeah, and that's true. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 11. Now see, it takes me time to get there too. So I have a new Bible. I can blame it on that because all the pages stick together. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. You got it, sweetheart? You want to give it a shot? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Go ahead. Yes, ma'am. And I want to add verse 12. I'm going to read that. Unto whom it was revealed. There it is. It was revealed, but they did not understand it. It was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angel desire to look into. The Old Testament prophets preached the gospel to you, but they didn't know what they were saying. And when they got done preaching it, they had a revelation of God. They understood what was said, but they did not understand what it meant. And it wasn't Paul and Peter saying here, they prophesied of the sufferings of Christ and the ministry of Christ, but it was not for their profit. It was for your profit. Well, what changed? The ministry of the Holy Ghost. And in and among the church of the living God that was initiated by the apostles. The apostles, and in particular, the apostle Paul, broke down the Old Testament scriptures that the Old Testament prophets lacked understanding and illumination. And he broke it down. Well, how did he get that information? He had to sit under the feet of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord himself, and Jesus taught him how to read the scriptures rightly. You saw evidence of that in Luke's gospel. And we're going to comment on that down the road, that the Lord Jesus had to take his disciples after his death and resurrection and for the next 40 days, instruct them how to read the Word of God distinctly, rightly, and interpret it rightly. And it takes time to do this. The disciples have sat underneath his ministry and his preaching for 3.5 years, but they still had a veil over their heart and they could not understand the Scriptures rightly. Jesus took 40 days to explain the Word of God to them. And when they read the Word of God, their whole viewpoint was totally different than that of the Jewish nation, and they were preaching the gospel with authority because they had been with Jesus, the author of the gospel to start with. Well, you're getting it. So you can have revelation and not illumination. No lack of understanding. You can have a lack of understanding here. Daniel chapter 12. Sister Kathy Cofield, rather lengthy portion of Scripture, but I got confidence in you. You can do it, Sister Kathy. That's okay. I just got there myself. Chapter 12, Daniel, verses 4 through 13. Very simple reading, easy to follow along. Chapter 12, 4 through 13, you may begin. All right, now there's several portions of Scripture here that tells us that there was a revelation, but no understanding. All right, where's the first one at? Verse 8. What about verse 4? What does it say in verse 4? But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. What does that mean? It's a closed book. Meaning, it's not meant for you to understand this, Daniel. All right, you said verse number 8, Sister Susie.
And that's absolutely correct. And I heard and I understood not. Well, God's interested in showing him this stuff. He had a legitimate request here. He wanted to know, what's this all about? Well, God was showing him stuff, but wasn't going to explain to him what it was about. You see how God's in control? Just because he showed you something doesn't mean he's going to explain everything to you. He doesn't owe you an explanation. That just humbles us, doesn't it? What's another verse? Verse 9. Who said that? Pastor Bonnie, read it for me. That's very good. You nailed it on the head. What's another verse? Well, let's look at verse 10 just for a second. We need to explain this. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. That tells me about persecution. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. If you don't understand the basic concepts of the gospel, and you have zero understanding of the Word of God when you read it, you have a problem. The wicked cannot understand. Your problem may not just be spiritual immaturity. It may be you're lost. And I witnessed it in my own home. I'll share that story with you one time. At another time, it involved a girl from New York staying with me. She was a student at Georgia Baptist College, a member of Peace Tree Baptist Church. She called me up one day and said she wanted to ask if I could take her in. She was in a mess. $12,000 in debt, working 3 jobs, and she just needed help to get her finances in order. We sat down with her, and I told her, we'll take you in. I explained to her the rules of the game. I said to her, we'll take you in, but number one, I'm in control of your finances. You and I are going to sit down. We're going to go over your paycheck. We're going to pay your bills. We're going to show you how to handle your monies. And we have certain rules. Whenever there's preaching going on in devotions, you're going to be involved in it. To make a long story short, it became a problem. I had rebellion on my hands, and it was feeding my other 2 kids. She eventually lost all 3 of her jobs. She was stuck with me. We would have Bible school in the morning with my children. Every morning I got off work at 7:30. From 8 to 9 o'clock in the morning, we had Bible school, and I taught them theology. We had tests. We had courses. We had classes right there at the dining room table. Pastor Tommy, I taught my children Bancroft's theology book from front to back. I taught them everything. Reading Pink's Sovereignty of God was required reading in my home. We would ask questions. And this poor girl who was going to college, she was so frustrated. Because she couldn't enter in. She couldn't answer the question. She wanted to participate. It was so pitiful. She was getting angry. My kids have been indoctrinated. They were nailing it, but she couldn't get in. And when we started having a rebellion, the only thing I knew to do, Pastor Tommy, was preach. Every day, I read books, sermons from Ralph Barnard. I preached Jonathan Edwards' sermon on sinners and the angry God 2 or 3 times. I was doing my best to get the rebellion under control and begging God, save somebody. And the only thing I knew to do as a follower to subdue the rebellion was preach. 1 hour every day, brother. How would you like to be the kid in my household? Got up, came home from work one day, had devotions like we always did. We went out to lunch. It took Her name was Michelle Sergi. Took her and the other 2 kids to Wendy's, bought them the meal, came back at the dining room table. We prayed. We began to eat. I don't waste time when it comes to food, especially when it comes to fries. I eat them when they're hot. I can't stand unsalted fries, and it got to be hot. The other 2 kids were chowing down. Michelle Sergi was sitting there. She wasn't doing a thing. She had 1 fry in her hand. She's puddling with it. Knew something was wrong. She says to me, Sister Susie, she says, Mr. Zublishan? She called me Mr. Zublishan. Not Brother Brian. Mr. Zublishan. She says, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She says, how do you know when God saves you? Well, I said, do you understand the gospel? She says, yeah, I understand all of that. But how do you know?
You see, you can have truth and not know that you're saved. And we've been preaching on repentance all week. She came unglued. I'm talking about she just broke down and was weeping and crying. Snot was running all over the place. She was a mess, weeping and crying out loud at the dining room table, and the kids, they felt so uncomfortable they had to leave. They didn't want no part of this. I didn't even know what I got myself into. I gave her the gospel again. She says, I know all that. Well, I'm giving it to you anyways, is what I said. I says, I've heard her pray before. Nothing special. I mean, she said all the right things. She was trying to live up to a Christian standard, and she wasn't making it, and she knew she wasn't making it. I says, Michelle, I don't know what your need is. I was afraid to tell her anything. Why don't we just go in the living room here and just pray? So I prayed first. I prayed for her, that God would help her. And then when I got done, I said, Michelle, it's your turn. You just tell whatever's on your heart and mind, but you cough it all up. Brother, she let it rip. I'm talking about bawling, crying. Lord, I'm such a wicked sinner. I deserve to go to hell. Oh, God, have mercy on me. Oh, God, save me. I've been so wicked, so vile. I've never been saved. Lord, save my soul, I beg you. She was there 5-10 minutes and bawled her eyes out. That was the first time I ever heard that woman pray. Rather than go through the motions. Young, 21, 20-year-old, Italian girl. When she got done, I said, well, sister, what do you think just happened? She said, God just saved me, Brother Bryant. I said, you need to get on the phone and call Pastor David. I handed her the phone. She had testified to Pastor David with clarity like I had never seen this woman testify before. She testified in church before, a bunch of rambling. But this was on target. Pastor David. Hey, Sister Michelle, how you doing? Pastor David, I wanted to call you and tell you that God just saved me. Well, amen, Sister Michelle. Praise God. You can just hear him saying that. I'm so glad for you. She says, I am too. I just wanted to call and tell you. The following weekend, she testified in church of the saving grace of God. And it was with clarity. Now get this. We still had the Bible classes going on. And she was answering questions that my kids could not answer. And she was reading Scripture with understanding, unlike before. My kids couldn't read Scripture with that kind of clarity and understanding. We've been drilling them now for 16 years. When I called on her to read Scripture, she could tell me exactly what that word was telling me. And that taught me something. That the reason why some of our church folk can't hear preaching and they have shunned the Word of God and they can't read the Bible with understanding is because the wicked cannot understand. Are you saved? Have you ever repented from your sins and acknowledged to God that you are a hell-deserving sinner? Or did you just educate yourself into this thing? And I'm telling you that if that's all you got, you'll bust hell wide open. I've been there, and I've seen it in the lives of others I've ministered to. They thought they were saved until the Holy Ghost makes an issue with them about the doctrine of repentance. Are you lost? The first thing you need to do, it's the best thing you do, stand before this church and say, Brother Brian, pray for me. I'm lost. Get rid of that old golden calf. And get honest with God. When you get honest with God and you realize your lost state, then God is likely to give you something more treasurable. And that's Jesus Christ. Oh, but you need to cry out to Him. Have you ever cried out to God and made Him to save your soul? I know I did. And I wasn't going to rest until God saved me. Praise God! This is not just getting educated in the things of God, brother. This is an invasion of the Holy Ghost. And it's God saving sinners
individually and personally.
That's the difference between dead orthodoxy. And let me just share this with you. You can know and believe the doctrines of grace and bust hell wide open. Salvation is not in a systematic system, a theological system. It's in Jesus Christ. And you can understand all those things because they're intellectually inducive.
And yet hate God. Have no love for the Lord Jesus. I don't want to be like that. And I search my heart, oh God, I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to put my head on a dying pillow thinking that all's well with my soul and then wake up in hell.
He says in verse 13, but go thy way till the end, before thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days.
Now, you can have revelation without illumination. The question I have for you is, can you have inspiration without illumination or revelation? No. You can't have the communication of the Word of God if God hasn't revealed you anything. You can't have the communication of the Word of God in the form of Scripture, prophecy, unless you have some form of understanding. You understand? Who controls this? The Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Ghost is working tonight. When I say thanks, when it deals with experimental salvation, I'm talking to you from the heart. And I have witnessed it. I'm not blowing smoke. Are you saved? We've got people that are coming in here on Sunday morning that have been here for years, no doubt. They've been here for a while. And they don't know. They don't know. It sure would be good if God would move. And people just get sick and tired of playing religion. Had a burden tonight. I didn't get very far. What we have laid out to you is pretty heady stuff. I'm just letting the Holy Ghost soak. That's all I'm doing right now. When it gets quiet and the waters get still, I'm waiting for the angel of the Lord to cause a ripple for someone to get here. Pastor Tommy?